If you've got your Bibles today, Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, verses 24, 26. And when you find that, if you would, stand in reverence to God's Word. God's Word will never pass away. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but His Word will not pass away. And if you find it, if you would, stand with me. And it says this, verse 24 to 26. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you and leave your flocks and herds. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." But Moses said, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock too must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God, and until we get there, we'll not know what we are to use to worship the Lord." Father, we thank you for this morning again. We ask your blessings on the rest of our time together, and our prayer is, change us, Lord. Don't let us be the same when we walked in as when we leave. Conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Up to this point, it's been 400 years since the children of Israel had been able to go and worship their Lord. Moses had come, and just prior to this, there was a plague of locusts that had occurred. Moses asked again, and the Passover had not yet occurred, but he had asked if he could go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and if they could go and make sacrifice and worship God. And at first, Pharaoh said, "Look, you can go, but only the men." And then the plague came, and he says, "Well, listen, you can go and you can take all the people, but you've got to leave the livestock behind. You can't take the livestock." He didn't want them to take the cattle. He understood that if the cattle were left behind, they weren't going to be able to go very far without food. But also, you understand, our enemy knows that if you don't have a sacrifice, where there is no sacrifice, there is no presence of God. And so, he withheld that. But Moses would not accept that. He said, "Listen, my family's going, the food's going, and not one hoof am I going to leave behind. We're taking it all with us when we go. We're going 3 days into the wilderness to sacrifice." And so they did. He finally allowed them to go. You understand that we need to have a sacrifice for our God. Where there is no animals, there's no sacrifice. No sacrifice, no presence of God. Where there is no God, we remain in bondage. Pharaoh understood where there is no God, no sacrifice, people remained in bondage. Even if they went away for a short distance, he could bring them back to bondage anytime he wanted to. The key to getting free and staying free is for us not to lose our sacrifice. You see, people can get out of Egypt. That is, it's a type of sin. We can get away from that. We can receive Christ. And sometimes we forget to keep our sacrifice. They come to know Christ. We volunteer. We come and we give our praise, our sacrifice of praise. But if we're not careful, the enemy will take that from us. The spirit of Pharaoh is, "I'm not willing to let you go. I'll never let you go." The enemy will never let you go. But the spirit of Moses is, "When I'm going, when I leave this place, everything is coming with me. I'm going to take my family. I'm going to take my cattle. I'm taking my food. I'm taking my dog. Everything's going with me. Not one hoof am I going to leave behind? I'm going to take my tent with me. Nothing is yours. God is telling us this morning this, that He's able to not only bring us out, but by His covenant with your family, He can bring it all out. If we don't lose our sacrifice, not one hoof will remain. We have to be willing to sacrifice. That is, not one bit of our sacrifice will we surrender to the evil one. I am not willing that one hair of my children's head will I sacrifice. I will not give up one hair of the heads of my grandchildren. I will sacrifice and take all from the evil one. Nothing will I give up. I'll sacrifice in prayer. I'll sacrifice financially. I'll sacrifice whatever it takes to the Lord and Savior to see to it that the evil one does not get it. Pharaoh would not let it go. But Moses understood, not one hoof am I going to leave it behind. Nothing am I going to leave it. Job understood sacrifice. Something, the little subtleties of the book of Job that we very often don't understand or we miss when we're reading. We see that in the first chapter of Job that Satan is having a discussion with God. He says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, but you put a hedge about him. I can't touch him. And yet if we read down through the very first chapter of Job, the thing that we see is that his children had been partying, they'd been feasting, and Job, every morning it said, for his seven sons and his three daughters, it said that he made a sacrifice for each one of them. It says this was his normal routine. Every morning, 10 sacrifices. Every morning, he would get up and sacrifice for his children. And God says to Satan, He says, listen, you can put your hand on him, but you may not kill him. And so we read very quickly, okay, all these things happened to him. And yet, what we don't realize is that the first thing that Satan took from Job was not his children. The first thing he took from Job was not the servants. The first thing he took from Job was not his land. The first thing he took from Job was his cattle. Why? Because no cattle, no sacrifice. No sacrifice, no presence of God, no presence of God. Sin can enter in. The first thing Satan took from Job was his sacrifice. Job was no longer able to sacrifice for his children. Job was no longer able to sacrifice for his family. The first thing that the evil one took from him was the sacrifice. There was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. And the first thing that he took was the livestock. No livestock, no sacrifice. No sacrifice, no hedge. Satan said, you put the hedge up there. The hedge was put up because of the sacrifice. Church, this morning, we have to make our sacrifice. It is not to keep our salvation. It does not gain our salvation, but God says He wants something from us. And a sacrifice is not a sacrifice unless it costs us something. I have determined that as I serve the inmates at Moshannon Valley Christian College, they require 40 hours of me. But I always go in early. I will sacrifice to the Lord. I will give Him at least a tithe of that time. I will give Him actually a double tithe. I try to give 48 hours a week so that it's God's. So that God can do something with that extra time that I'm there. We can all find something to give to God so that He can take that and begin to work with that and use that. You're coming here today is a sacrifice. God smells the petrol coming up from your cars and He says, I smell a sacrifice. The shoe leather, whatever. He says, I smell a sacrifice. My wife and I talk all the time. This church is sacrificial. Giving. Doing. But I kept thinking, God, why this certain? Why? What a church. I mean, it is a sacrificial church, but I believe that somebody today is thinking about giving up a ministry. Somebody's here today is thinking about stopping something, and God says, no. Keep sacrificing. It's that I'll bless. It's that I look forward to. It's that on a cold morning or when everybody else can just sleep in and say, well, not today. Pastor's not there today, so I think nobody will notice. But God notices. Preaching to the choir now, you're here. But God notices. But even more so, as we sacrifice, those behind us notice. The young people notice. We notice when the older people sacrifice. Ed McCulley was here today. He's been sick all day. When I got here, I said, Ed, why are you here? He said, I got to be here. I have to be here. I said, but Ed, you're sick. Margaret, she's in a lot of pain. You should be home. No, I have to be here. It's a sacrifice that goes up before God. It inspires me. You know, he shouldn't have been here. It's not required of him to be here. God would not be disappointed if he was not here, and yet it's a sacrifice of his to be here. To open the doors, to be here for us. It inspires the next generation. It puts a hedge around that which we're in charge of, the ministries that we're in charge of. If you're here today and you're thinking, well, maybe I was going to give up that ministry. Maybe God's speaking to you today. Don't do it. Don't do it. Pray really hard. Jesus understood this whole idea. Satan took him up into a high place and he showed him all this glory. And he said, look, all this can be yours if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said back to Satan, he said, listen, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone. He said, you're not going to get my sacrifice. You'll not get my sacrifice of worship. You will not get that. My worship belongs to the Lord God himself and him alone. You see, Satan can lead you someplace. He can tempt you with something, but he cannot make you sacrifice to that. This morning we need to sacrifice unto our God. Satan might try to tempt you. Anyone can worship when we're belly button deep in blessings. It's easy to do that. But when we're going through a really, really hard time, that's the time to offer up praise and worship. That's when it's really hard. Jesus had been gone. He'd been through a whole difficult time at this point, and yet he could still say, you're not getting my sacrifice. I'll not sacrifice worship to you, only to the Lord God. He's the only one that'll get my sacrifice. Church, real sacrifice costs us something. Or it's not sacrifice. It's not sacrifice at all. Elijah understood sacrifice. I mean, there he was on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And he said, you, go ahead. We'll see whose God is God. You set up your sacrifice and I'll set up mine. And he jeered them for a little while and they set up theirs. They cut themselves. They called out. Nothing happened. And it said it was the time of the evening sacrifice when finally Elijah puts up his altar. And he began to dress it. He said he dressed the bullock and he put it on the altar. And he put 12 stones in it to build the altar, one from each of the tribes of Israel. And as he built that altar, it said he dug a ditch around it. Now 3.5 years had gone by when he had walked into the office of Ahab and he stuck his finger in his right in his face. Now, how many of you think you could walk into the Oval Office and talk to the president just because you wanted to? It isn't going to happen. And yet he did it. He walked into the king's palace and he stuck his finger in his, and he said, look, there isn't going to be rain till I say so. There ain't going to be dew until I say so. And there wasn't any rain or dew until he said so. Bible says 3.5 years. There was no dew on the fields. There was no dew in the mountain. There was no mountain dew. My other son-in-law would not go, it would not go well with him. Drinks mountain dew in the morning. I guess it's like coffee, but. But here he was on Mount Carmel and he's jeering him on, but he puts his sacrifice out. But the difference between, they're identical except for one thing. He told the men, he says, go get water. 3.5 years, no rain, no dew. That which was very precious, that which cost much, he said, go get it. And they brought him 3 big things of it. He said, no, get 3 more. And they brought it. He said, no, 3 more. That which did not exist because they'd been in drought for 3.5 years hadn't even rained. No dew. People didn't have water to drink and he's dumping it on this altar. That which cost much is to be given to our God. And when he prayed, God answered. And the Bible says that the flames licked the water in answer to his prayer. Elijah understood giving a sacrifice to our God. As he prayed, that God answered that prayer. They were identical except for the water. And the next thing he said, I hear the sound of heavy rain coming. Church, when we give our sacrifice, I can say today, some of you will be able to say, I hear the sound of heavy rain coming. The answer of prayer will be coming. If we faint not, if we keep doing what God has asked us to do, if we continue on doing. Again, this is a sacrificial church. I've seen it. Pick up the little green thing that's out here today. My goodness, read it. Back and front. I go into some churches and they have to use big print to fill up the inside of one page. But somebody might be wanting to give up today. Don't give up. Never give up. Keep giving your sacrifice. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, Philistines had overcome Israel. They had taken the ark. It's where the presence of God was. It was a God box. In a very real sense, they had kidnapped God. And they had taken it back to their temple of Dagon. The God, fish, man, God. Put it in their temple. And the Bible says, this is really interesting, that all the people, all the Philistines of the area, got boils. And the surrounding area. Did a little research on that. Said, in the Hebrew, it means they got hemorrhoids. And then after a while, they tried to transfer it to another city, and it said they all got hemorrhoids. And they transferred it to 2 more cities, and every place they transferred, they got hemorrhoids. Real bad ones, because people died. So they were standing around, literally. He said, what do we do? He said, we better give it back to these people. In essence, they said, you take it back. I ain't taking it back. You take it back. Well, they fleeced God. They put it on a cart with two heifers, cows, that had just given birth. And if you know anything about farming, they're not going to leave their calves. They said, if these two heifers take the ark back to the people, to the Israelites, we'll know that this was an infliction of their God. If it stays, then we'll know it was not an infliction of their God. It wasn't because we have the ark. So we'll keep the ark. And the Bible says they followed the two heifers as it took it back to the children of Israel, took the ark back. Can I say something? The two heifers were meant to be an offering back to the Israelites as a sacrifice. See, God's blessings are hitched to a sacrifice. The only thing I didn't like about that story is once they got back, the two heifers were made into a sacrifice. It didn't seem right two mamas got sacrificed, but it's how it went. Can I encourage you today? Can I encourage you today? Don't give up your sacrifice. I don't know what yours is, whether it's for your family. Maybe some of you young people, it's something at school that you thought, maybe I'm going to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know what it is in your life, but I believe God wants you to keep praying about giving up if that's what you're going to do. Keep giving them your sacrifice today. Would you stand with me today? Our band, I don't know, you got another song? Yeah. I'd like to sing whatever they have playing. We bring the sacrifice of praise. I don't know what you... No. Let's give a sacrifice of praise this morning. And I want you to... between you and God today, is there a sacrifice you need to give Him? Or keep giving Him? Or maybe you need to return to giving a sacrifice today. That's the message for the day. Amen. And then we'll close. You need prayer because you're going to give up. Maybe you need prayer for strength, for healing. I'll linger for a little while. The rest I'm going to close in prayer and you can be on your way. Amen. So Father, I do pray over my brothers and sisters that are here today. I pray, God, that you would just minister to them as they go and as they go. That you would use them as lights out in this community, God, that they could minister to others. Lord, I pray for this church, God, that you would continue to use this church in a mighty, mighty way here, Kerwinsville, and as it flows out into the whole world. I pray, God, your blessings upon this church. Use us, each and every one of us, Father, in our conversations, whether it be on the phone and down at the stores, wherever we might find ourselves, God, that you would use us as instruments of your peace and reconciliation. So, Father, thank you again, God, that you would strengthen us, and God, that we might be used of you. We give you praise today, God. We give you glory today, God. We give you all thanks. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. God bless you, church. Good to be with you today.